Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, that God would give us grace to do that, to hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. And he's speaking to them, he says, "For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, there is no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish. The beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed." Notice verse 7. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Verse 7, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." He said there in verse 1, he had a controversy against the children of Israel. Hear the word of the Lord. He had a whole controversy with not just one or two, but the whole nation. None of them were exempt. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And what we see in these verses one leading up to verse 6, you see the results or the evidences of what happens when there is no knowledge, or when they are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God. Israel had no excuse for having no knowledge. Remember who these are. This is Israel. God had given them the law. God had instructed them. God had given them the priest. God had given them the sacrifices. They knew God. These are not infidels. These are not Gentile dogs. These are Israelites. He said they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They had been going through this routine of worship, or whatever they'd call worship, for so long. They just took it for granted. They knew what God required. But they said, "We're going to do what we want to do anyway." God had instructed them about going whoring after other gods, and that's exactly what they did. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 10:26. "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." When you reject God's sacrifice and the knowledge of God, when they sin willfully after they've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. They said, "We won't have it this way." And it is the knowledge of what? The knowledge of the truth. Here we see this described, if you want to turn to Romans chapter 1. And what we see here is not just something that applied to Israel in their day, but even happens in the day, the very days in which we live. People around us are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Just ask most people, simple question, what do you think about God? What is God like? What is your knowledge of God? Well, I really don't know. I've seen them ask them questions like that on TV, and it just really just like a deer in the headlights. Just like it's like they had no clue, and they don't and no knowledge of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Did you notice it didn't say it was manifested to them? It is manifested in them. Well, how is it manifested in them? God gave them a conscience. Everybody, people will say, well, this is how I was born. I know how you was born. You was born depraved, but you were born with a conscience knowledge of good and evil. Now, when you sin against that conscience knowledge, a knowledge of what? Good and evil. And when you sin against that conscience and you sear that conscience, then you see the results. Because God manifested it to them. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God for me. But they're without excuse. Because God manifested. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God's given man enough in creation that he's without excuse. He revealed it to him. The heavens declare the glory of God. Because that when they knew God, it's not that they didn't know God. What happened with this knowledge of God? When they knew God. Now that doesn't mean that they knew Him intimately. That doesn't mean that they knew Him unto eternal life, but they knew Him. It'd be like me taking this watch somewhere and laying it over in some on beach somewhere over in some third world country out there on the beach and lay it down on the shore. Man, we'll say, "Oh, it's a watch." But he don't know anything much about the creator of the watch. He just knows that somebody made a watch. Most people know about God, but they know very little about God. But he said, because when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. Oh, we don't want to glorify Him. We want to glorify ourselves. Because we don't like the knowledge of God. Because we're God. We're God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were they thankful that He was God. Everything that man receives, God gave them. And Israel had more to be thankful for than a lot of people did. We have a lot more to be thankful for than a lot of people do. We really do. You know, it is a blessing that you have a book that you can pick up anywhere. And it's not written in German. It's not written in Latin. It's written in English. You know why? So you can read it. That's a blessing. That's no accident. But they were not thankful. We don't really care. We don't care about the law. We don't care about God. We're not going to be thankful. You know why men are not thankful? They think you owe it to them. That's it. They think you owe it to them. What He owes us is wrath. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Now, all this is the result of when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, and they weren't thankful. Well, what's the results of that? They became vain in their imaginations. Now, what are your imaginations? It is like you have an image in your mind of what you think God's like. I mean, I've been told that God's something like us, that God loves everybody, and He's just a compassionate God. And God wouldn't send anybody to hell. God wouldn't judge people like that. God's not that way. Oh, yes, He is. He will punish sin. vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So it's not just the mind, it's the imagination, and it's the heart. And here's the biggest thing of deception. They profess themselves to be wise. Oh, we're so wise. We're scientists. We've got this all figured out. We could tell you how old this rock is. We could tell you how long the earth's been here. You know, we've evolved from such and such. This is our wisdom. We're so wise, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. Fools. And you know what they did? They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Oh, this, we're going to create us a God out of a stump. We're going to create it. And it goes farther from corruptible man to birds to a four-footed beast to some little creeping thing. That's the result. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's why men have the mentality that God is like this, and He's not. God's going to show them. God says, I have a controversy with you. I have a controversy with you. And it says there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. We have no knowledge of God and people are destroyed for lack of God. There's no mercy. There's no truth. When you suppress the knowledge of God, they go after other lovers. Men are going to worship something. Men are born religious. You don't teach them to be religious. They're born religious. In Psalm 76, 1, in Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. Jeremiah 4, 22, for my people is foolish. They've not known me. They are stoish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise. They are wise to do evil. But listen to this. But to do good, they have no knowledge. Now, let me tell you. This book plainly reveals when you sin against the life that God gives you and against your conscience, when He turns you over to a reprobate mind and you do those things which are not convenient, you can do those things and it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you in the least. Why? Your conscience doesn't bother you. That conscience that speaks to you. That conscience that God gave you. They're wise to do evil. They love to do evil. In the days of Noah, everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. I mean, that was in the book of Judges. In Moses' day, their thoughts were on evil. What? Continually, their what? Thoughts were. That's all they thought about, was committing evil, doing evil, just evil, evil. Not on God. Why not think about God? Why not have thoughts of God? God is not in all His thoughts. We don't want to think about Him. He says, okay, I'll leave you alone and you won't. This is what happened to Israel. What happened to Israel? They forgot God. Turned away from Him. You notice it says, and there was no truth nor mercy. Now usually, truth precedes mercy. And it's because of God's mercy that you know the truth. In Proverbs 3 verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy and truth. And you know, now listen, when men forsake truth, they forsake their own mercies. This is what Jonah said. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, down there, when God taught this man something, he tried to forget God. When God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't want to think about Nineveh. I don't want to think about doing your will. And he goes and he buys him a ticket. He gets on a boat. Oh, everything seems so fine until God sends a storm. And he tells them to cast him overboard. And when they did, their fish just swallowed him. But you know what he learned? And you know what he learned? He learned something. Salvation's of the Lord. And here's what he said. Jonah 2 verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Now what does that mean? When we give in to the evil heart of unbelief and give in to the suggestions of a vain mind, when we consult with flesh and blood and disregard God and His will, we will, like Jonah, realize the cost of forsaking God, who has been so gracious and merciful unto us. I pray this world realizes before it's too late the cost of forsaking God. Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. As I've already mentioned, when there is no knowledge of God, everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. They say, well, this is right. Don't tell me it's not wrong. Don't tell me it's wrong. You're wrong. You don't have the right to do that. Well, notice what he said there. Verse 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. What this is saying is there's no restraints. That's what men want, no restraints. You know what the prodigal son wanted? To be out from under the restraints of his father. Basically, he just said, Daddy, I just wish you was dead so I could have mine inheritance to spend. I can spend it any way I want. And it wasn't his. It was his father's. He didn't care if he wasted it. He didn't care. Because when he was at home, they said, you ain't doing that. You ain't doing that. You're not doing that. Conscience says, you ain't doing that. That's wrong to do that. No, I'm going to do what I want. I don't know what that's like. I remember when I was a teenager, and I remember exactly how that was. I was glad when my daddy moved out. Yeah, he moved out. That's bad when you can't live with your own teenage son. Usually it's the other way around, but now, I'm living in his house. Yeah, he's paying the bills, and I'm living here. Yeah, nobody tell me what to, when I come in, when I wanted to. And it is a miracle of God's grace, I'm telling you, that I'm standing before you. Because that's what I wanted to do. Now, you see what I'm saying? Now the restraints was gone. I don't have to answer to anybody. Everybody has to answer to God. They do. But there's no restraint. Swearing and lying and killing and stealing. It's just like it's rampant. And our Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the last days before He comes. No restraints. Somebody was talking to me one day about laws. They was critical of policemen and law enforcement and everything. And I said, listen to me. Listen for a second. I said, if we didn't have laws, you wouldn't get to Interstate 77 from right here. Somebody would have done captured you. Somebody would have done took you. Somebody would have done something. Why don't they? Restraints. But what about when God pulls back the restraints? It says there, they break out. This Mill Creek behind us, it is held in by its banks. Now, if it rains enough and there's enough water in the Ohio River to back that creek up, you know, then it comes out wherever it wants to. It comes outside its restraints. But now it flows in those banks that are what, that's what restrains that water. But when if it was to become a flood, it would get outside the restraints and everything in its path would be swallowed up. That's why they say it just breaks out. It's like sin just breaking out and it destroys everything in its path. There's no resisting it. Consumes everything in its way. Destroys everything in its way. Someone said sin is like a violent river. It's a violent and powerful thing. Here's what it says in Ecclesiastes 8. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, when a man breaks the law and he's sentenced, why do we put him in jail for 5 to 10 years and why do we put him in jail for life? When sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the hearts of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, shoot. They put me in there and they'll just keep me up. I'll get free medical. I'll get free dental. I'll get 3 good meals. I have a warm place to sleep. Who wouldn't want this? You know what they used to do? If you was convicted of a crime, I know most of you have heard the song, and maybe I shouldn't do this, but I will. Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley. You know where that was from? Wilkesboro, North Carolina. From where I was from. My grandma or grandpa was a Melton. That girl who got killed was Ann Melton. They were some kin. But the guy who killed her was Tom Dooley. But he said he never killed her because he was in love with Ann Melton and Laura Foster, who was a married woman. They said Laura Foster killed him because she was jealous of Ann Melton. Whatever. They killed her and they put her in a shallow grave. You know what they did to Tom Dooley? They hanged him. Sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Yeah, he's convicted. And he said, you see this hand? I never touched a hair on her head. Whether he did or not, he was hanged for that crime. I guarantee if they when they hang somebody, I guarantee somebody said, buddy, I don't think I want to go down that road. Why is that? That is a restraint. You take a child like Daniel, you put him in his family, and he teaches him, and he instructs him, and he has restraints. If he don't, it's going to break out. And what happened to Israel? They just break out. Go back because I couldn't remember. Remember when we went through the kings? If you'll look at the last several kings, you know what happened? This one was jealous of that one, so he killed him so he could have the throne. You know what happened? The next one in line hated this guy, so he says, I'm going to kill him so I can have the throne. You know what that is? It's just cutthroat. This is what is going on. There's no barriers. People now have no shame. You know, some of y'all know this. Just in this county the other day, they caught a 15-year-old boy with a gun on a bus. I remember taking a gun to school. 25 automatic. I thought I was bad. You know, I got me a little gun in my pocket. And everybody carried a knife. Everybody carried a knife. What's the difference now? What's the difference now? When you don't correct somebody, you're going to have pure hell on your hands. That's exactly right. I mean, you just say, well, it's okay. It's all right. You just don't know what you're doing. Men like to take down the restraints. It's all right. They can rule themselves. You see how that works out. I've got a little granddaughter. She'll be one in July. But you don't correct that child. You just wait just a little bit and you see what happens. It's not funny. It may be funny for a little while, but it ain't funny. Then it says there that blood toucheth blood. It's just saying that murder was rampant. Like I've already mentioned, it was the time when there was so much bloodshed in Kings. Can you imagine, you got a murder for a king. You've got somebody who has no value for human life, no value. The land's polluted with blood. There's no restraints. I heard the other day, and this is really horrible. I hesitate about even mentioning it, but I think it makes a point. Well, they found these five babies that they had almost full-term babies. Someone had aborted them. One was cut all to pieces. And they said, we're not going to investigate it. Because we don't want to feel that. We don't want people thinking about it. We don't have any. You know, that's a continent. There's something wrong. How can we do that? And then not bother us. Without any natural affection for anybody. Just take a man's life and it doesn't bother you. And then have no regard for your own life. Then it says, the land shall mourn. The whole land is affected with sin. The land will mourn under the judgment of God. He says in Romans 8, the earth groans and travails, doesn't it, under the weight of sin, waiting till when He will come and redeem His people. God said they'd broken His commandments and I will now take away their comforts. When it speaks there of the land being mourning, it means that no grass for the cattle. No herbs for the service of man. No, all I got to do is withhold the rain. They don't have all the luxuries they once had. It'd be like Danny, he raises cattle, most of you know it. Well, what if it don't rain and he can't make any hay? Well, you say, well, he can buy feed. Well, what if he can't get feed? He was telling me about people wanting to get fertilized, and it's not that there was none out there, you just can't get it. What if he wanted feed and then it was out there, you just couldn't get it? That's what the Lord's saying to these people. He said, I will draw back these things. He said, there will be things so scarce that they won't even be something for the fowls to eat. He said, David talks about even the fish of the sea will be taken away. How does this apply to us in the midst of all this lying and swearing and other sins? God has provided us with plenty. Remember where Israel lived. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. The most fertile place. But he says, I will withhold the rain. Like he did in Elijah's day. And everybody was affected. Why? Because they turned their back on God. And then the condemned criminal. He's just left to himself. Nothing's done to bring the criminal to repentance. When God leaves an individual or a nation alone, He bids the prophets to not even pray for them. Notice verse 17. Here in chapter 4. Ephraim, another name for Israel, is joined to idols. What's the next three words? Let him alone. That is three of the most sobering words I know of in God's Word. Let Him alone. I pray God never leaves me alone. I pray He never leaves you alone. I pray He never leaves us alone. I pray He never leaves this nation alone. No reproof will change them. I made me a note, America is joined to idols. Let Him alone. Then when sinners rebel, talked about there against the priests, they rebel against God's preachers, and they said, we will not have it. God says, okay. He'll do just like He did the gathering country. They said, we don't want you around. God says, okay, I'm leaving. See you. He will not stay where He's not wanted. He won't stay where He's not wanting. In verse 5, thou shalt fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Because the men, the nation, would not heed reproof, and they wouldn't listen to advice, they shall fall. And no one can prevent it. No one can stop it. You know, it's a horrible thought, and maybe it's wrong me to even cause us to even consider it. What if this nation fail? You know, you see Ukraine. You see, you know what, they're trying to topple that government. They want it to fall. They want to take over. We're not above that. You imagine the light we have. Look, and look how we've treated God, mistreated Him. I can't help but see that. It's just not just applied to them. It applies to us. Israel was blessed. We were blessed. No question about it. And it says here, they shall stumble and fall even in the day. And the false prophet that flattered them shall fall with them in the night. It doesn't matter whether it's the day or the night. It's all darkness to them. The darkness of night can't conceal them from their trouble. And even in the day, they'll fall. When the blind lead the blind, you know what happened? They both fall into the ditch. And then He says, I'll destroy thy mother. Samaria. That was the mother city. It's like, you know, I can't remember the capital of Ukraine. That's what they wanted to conquer. We want to conquer it. We want to destroy the mother. We want to destroy it. The whole estate of the kingdom is what He's talking about. The mother should be made silent. Everyone's involved in the crime. And everyone will be expected to suffer in the crime. None shall escape. Now verse 6. They rejected knowledge. Everyone rejected knowledge, and they will all be rejected by God. Isaiah 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. Why? Because they have no knowledge. Some of you may not have heard. I know Paul probably has, especially if you read much of John Gill's. He speaks a lot of the Targum of Jonathan. And you know what happened? Do you know what happened to the Israelites when they came back from Babylon? They didn't know their own language. They had lost the Hebrew language. And the Targum of Jonathan was written where they could understand what God said. How did they lose it? Nobody to teach them. You imagine being in a strange land. You stay in a land for 70 years, more than likely, you may retain some of your English, but more than likely, you're going to take up the language that you listen to. And what he's saying is, when men have no knowledge of God, that's why they talk the way they do. They speak like in a foreign language. When men talk about another gospel, it's like a foreign language. It's different. They've lost the knowledge of God. You go, well, how are we supposed to worship God? They have no knowledge. You remember there in Ezra? Read, I think it's the book of Ezra, chapter 8. Where they made a pulpit. And Ezra stood up where they could see him and everybody could hear him. That's why they did the pulpit. It was raised up. And he just read from the law. And it said God gave them the sense, the understanding of what he said. I bet you could have heard a pin drop. Oh, this is what God said. We had no knowledge of this. We're in darkness. Matthew Henry said the reason why the people did not learn and the priests did not teach was not because they did not have the light, but because they hated the light. They deliberately forgot the law of God. And they had no desire to teach their children. Parents have responsibilities to teach their children because what little bit I do know, I wish I didn't know about the school system. But I do know this, they're not going to teach your children about God, that's for sure. They may teach them about some other God. They may teach them that they're God and they can decide whatever they want to and they can decide whatever sex they want to be. That's why children need to be in the house of God. They need to be taught in the house of God. They need to be taught to behave in the house of God. And they need to be taught to remember their Creator in the days of His youth. Do you know what it says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18? Now listen to this verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But where there is no vision, there is no message, there is no gospel, there is no revelation of God, there is no perish. Listen, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It is such a joy to be able to ever sit down with anybody. Not just us, but somebody, just meet anybody that's interested in the things of God. They receive not the love of the truth. Because without the love of the truth, they're going to perish. Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity and they've have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient path, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you want to destroy a soul, leave them in darkness to who God is. You want to destroy a community? Take away the knowledge of God. You want to destroy a family? Take away the authority of the parents. You don't have no family. How many people get married? How many people even take the time to even get married anymore? How many families have a daddy and a mama to raise them kids? How many families where their grandparents are raising their kids? Now you think about it. Before we know it, Danny, our generation, Carol, our generation will be gone. Then Sarah and Kurt, and then Marie, it'd be your generation. That's how it will go. And if God doesn't raise up a generation, you know what happens? The doors will just close. That's just the fact. I can just tell you, I can't tell you what happened before my generation. I can't tell you what's going to happen after my generation. But I can sure tell you what I've seen just in my generation. Just in the time that I've been upon this earth. Go, how did it change so fast? All God has to do is just pull back the restraint. How did this land get flooded? Well, you just cut down the banks. Just let it run any way it wants to. You know, everybody's got their own free will. Just let them do whatever they want to. They have the will and the right to do it. You want to destroy a nation? Take away the voice of the people. Take away the knowledge of God. Teach them everything, but against everything except what God's Word says. They were saying something the other day. And they said, you know, they're made in the image of God. Here's how it was made. God made man in the image of God. He made man in the image of God. Then he created the woman from the man. And give the woman to the man, and the man reigned over her. That was God's ordained means. And when you go against God's ordained means, it's nothing but confusion and death. And you destroy everything. Destroy it. Destroy it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when our Lord said, no, I'll leave you this verse in closing. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Why would Israel, after everything God had done for them, why would they turn their back on him? You need to think about it. He gave them everything they had. He said, remember the pit from which you were dug. You were down there in Egypt, a bunch of slaves, and I brought you out and put you in the best land in all the world. When I was laying out people's land, who was going to get what? He said, they got theirs based on yours. And look what they did. God help us to not forget the knowledge we do have. Lord, increase enlighten our understanding that we may know and understand not just some head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. You know what that is? It's life. I hope that's a help.